Praise the Lord. Abba. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big round of applause. Hallelujah. That's what my song will be.
That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be. Hallelujah. That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be.
Praise God. Welcome to church. Once again, today is Palm Sunday. Hallelujah. And we shall not be ignorant of what happened on Palm Sunday. So how many of you know what happened on Palm Sunday? You know what happened on Palm Sunday? Hallelujah. Eh? As I did, is question paper never changes. Okay. Luke chapter 19. I'll just read this. It's not what I want to say, but I'll read it and I'll move into what I want to say. I didn't get any questions, so I understand. That means that everybody is fine. Hallelujah. So it's family meeting as well. Luke 19. That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be. Hallelujah. That's what my song will be.
That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be.
Okay, so in Luke 19, I read from verse 28. It's the triumphant entry. It says, when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which one no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you are losing it, thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Hallelujah. So he's saying that you enter the town or village or whatever, you see a colt that is tied, no one has ever ridden on it. Say, loose it and bring them. And if they ask you, you tell them that the Lord has need for it. One if you see. Amen. Hallelujah. The other day I was speaking to a young lady. I said, you are like that cult that the Lord needs, has a need of. And she didn't understand. I said, that means you don't know about the cult, but you know about it. Amen. So verse 32, he says, so those who went, those who were sent their way went and found just as he said to them. They found what? Just as he said to them. God doesn't give an instruction that is confusing. He's very direct and very distinct in his instructions. So, oftentimes, I know people are very fond of arguing about the Bible these days. Even the thing that is there, koro koro, your husband shall rule over you, is a problem today. Is it not a problem today? It's a problem. I was listening to radio on Friday, and they were busy arguing. Submit your husband. And I was just laughing. He said, you find it just as he said you find it. So why do you want to bend it just as he has written it, as he has not written it? Amen. But as they were losing the court, the owner of it said to them, why are you losing the court? You know, if it would have been a problem if the owner of this court didn't come and ask them, why are you losing it? Because he told them, okay, that if they ask you, tell them that the Lord has need of it. And the owner showed up and he said, why are you losing it? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus and they drew their own clothes. And they threw their own clothes on the colt and they set Jesus on him. Hallelujah. So the owner did not restrain Abi. Hesitate. No, he didn't hesitate. He did not resist. Hallelujah. The owner let the colt go because the owner must know and understand who the Lord is. Hallelujah. Amen. At the mention of his name, every knee, service has started. I've started preaching. You know. Don't think I'm telling a story. I've told you two things. The Lord sent forth and he said, they found it just as his word has said. And then that owner came and it was his response that they told the owner, the Lord has need of him. Finish. No Allah. See, when God sends you on an errand, it's because we are past computer age, you are in information age, Abby. You are going to another age. Whatever age you are going into, this thing still stands. That when God says you should do something, that's how you should carry it out. Don't add to it, don't take away from it. They didn't have to explain anything, no. Said the Lord has need of him. So verse 35 says, then they brought him to Jesus and they threw their own clothes on the cloth. And they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. And then, as he was now drawing near the descent of Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. So now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. If you had known, even you, especially in this day, these things make you peace. But now they are hidden from you. For days will come upon when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you on every side. Amen. He wrote that called into Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And many shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what happened on the triumphant entry, and that's why we celebrate Palm Sunday. Amen. It was the beginning of the end. Hallelujah. The beginning of your beginning. You understand what I'm saying? It's the beginning of our beginning. If he did not ride into Jerusalem, there's no way. They won't have caught him. Abi? And they won't have been on the cross. I will not be here today saying Hosanna to him. Don't mind them next week, the same people that said Hosanna today. They will say crucify him, but we thank them. Hallelujah. Because if they did not do Hosanna today and crucify him tomorrow, there's nothing we'll be reading. And then what will be our hope? Amen. Hallelujah. And I told you in the morning that it's important. Some of you, what's so significant about things is when you get back home, go search and read about the triumphant entry. There's nothing in the scripture that has been written in the scripture that was not written by the inspiration of God to men. Hallelujah. And there's nothing that is not important. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So two things. Whatever he says to do, you do it. Don't take away from me. Don't add to it. And he says that they found it just as he said. That's God's word. Just as he said, that's how they found it. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you have any testimonies? Before I take, I just take two testimonies if there's any for today. It's family meeting. If there's none, I go on. Okay, so Kenny. Hallelujah. That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I just want to thank God. I want to give glory to God because last week, Monday, I started feeling a bit funny, like last week, Saturday. Right. Yes, Saturday. And then on Monday, it was really, really, it was so worse. But few of my guys around me didn't notice. So, and I sent a message to the group that they should just pray for me. And just those little prayers that it's online. You know, they didn't see me. They just sent the prayer. And those prayers really, really worked for me. But that doesn't mean that I should not go and take, or I should not go for, you know, checkup or, but the prayer really, really works. And when I went to take injection, it's been a long time. And that didn't really, but I thank God for healing. I thank God for perfection. And I also want to thank God for Bro Sunday that he's healed already in the name of Jesus, because he's been complaining a bit. He's been complaining about his health recently, but I just want to give God praise because God that did it for me will also do it for him in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Hallelujah. So that's deep. What God has done for you, he will do for him. Hallelujah. Amen. As long as he believes. Mr. Sajiri.
Praise the Lord. On Thursday, we were here in church, and I was very, very fine, perfectly fine. And on Thursday night, after, you know, we talked about the will of the Father, and particularly with regards to healing, Pastor has taught us, thank God for the word of God, that each time the word comes, the devil comes to try the word. Remember last week he told us how even when Jesus just finished fasting and everything, and Jesus is the word, yeah, the devil came to test the word. And then from Thursday night, I began to feel a very sharp pain. It was very serious. It was so intense that to breathe in was a problem. To yawn was a problem. Anything that just makes me gasp for air or take in air was a problem. I couldn't breathe. Air just hooked me. You know, that kind of thing, a lot of things want to come to your mind. What could this be? What does it have to do with maybe the heart or whatever? But I just, at the point, I even almost took permission that, Pastor, prayer meeting on Saturday, I don't think it will be. But you see, that night, the Lord dealt with me. He dealt with me in the sense that when I woke up in the midnight and he started showing me things, even from his word, I was like, you know, just obedience to the word helped me. And glory be to God, I got healed. Here is why I'm giving the testimony. Each time, and I learned this from service, each time God shows you a thing, the best thing for us to do is just simply obey, step out in faith. In your stepping out in faith, you begin to see yourself healed. When that thing happened on Friday night, even as we came to prayer meeting that morning, I was still feeling the pain slightly. It was here while we were praying that I shared that I am getting healed already. I was just declaring my healing. As soon as we finished that prayer meeting, as we were back going back, I was hitting the place. I telling my wife that I can't feel this pain. She said, breathe in. I took in a deep breath. I couldn't do like this. But now I can bend even more. I can take in a deep breath. And just that, in the presence of God, things happen. Glory be to God.
Praise God. You will rely on the word of God. You rely on God's instructions. If he says you are healed, there you are. And that's what he says. Amen. That's how it's written in scripture. Hallelujah. That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be.
Praise the Lord. I'm here to testify to the goodness of God over my son's life. Rejoice, Adesanmi. I've been checking something in one of his eardrums, and I've been battling with this thing for like, let me say, 3 months. Anytime I want to remove the something, it will go inside. And the something has been disturbing me because if I should send him, go and bring water in the fridge, he'll go and get another something. So I was now like, is it the something that is disturbing him or what? So I now said, okay, maybe during the long vac, I will take him to the hospital to do a thorough checkup. But I want to give glory, all the honor and adoration for his mercies on him, because I just saw my courage. I said, rejoice, come, let me check the hair. So immediately I checked the hair. I noticed that the something was very, very near. And I said, okay, today I will make attempt and remove the something. So I now checked something. I took an object and I said, it was now shouting, said, mommy, don't use sharp object. So I said, this one is not sharp object. This one is God tools that I will use for you today. So immediately I inserted the something and I wanted to make attempt. I noticed that the something break into two. I said, today I will make sure I remove you out. So the second attempt, the something now came out. So I want to glorify God for his goodness and his perfection over him. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Is that something? Next time, take the something to hospital. Hallelujah. But God's powerful. He understands every bit of our step, and he will take care of us. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so we have a series of programs for this quarter, and truly, we're going to start foundational classes anytime from June, May we start. Matthew 21, verse 9. Hosanna to the Son of David. Olubukunle Timbawa, Nyoruka Oluwa. Hosanna, Nyokion. That's today. They have clapped today. When we start, come. Hallelujah. I know what I'm saying. And what happens in Vegas, we stay in Vegas. How many of you were here last night? I mean, we were online last night. So what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Hallelujah. So I think I've answered your question. Whoever sent that question to me. Right. Have I answered your question? Whoever sent that question to me, have I answered you? Just wave your hand. Don't mind them. Okay. Hallelujah. Don't worry. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Abi, you don't know the meaning. I don't like this online thing. It doesn't allow me to talk. If I tell you to mute them now, they'll sound wicked. But you can see me after if you need anything. But definitely there's a plan. And we don't want a situation where there will be a break. That's just full blast. Hallelujah. Amen. Today's our communion Sunday. Family meeting. So I'll be talking God's word, and you'll be relaxed. Amen. Hallelujah. But remember this very much, that each time Christ went preaching, the power of God was present to do what? To heal. Hallelujah. Because that word of God itself, that's the power of God. We heard it during Sunday school. Let it be the center of everything that you do. Amen. And you need to know this for yourself. Very important. Nobody else will tell you or will teach you. The people that say you should not talk is because they know. That's why they will always stand so that you don't get the things you ought to get. The expectation of the righteous will not be cut short. In Jesus' name. Luke chapter 6. Okay, before I read Luke chapter 6, let me take Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, "Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power." Acts 10, 38. "Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Hallelujah. He says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen. So even that last sentence, all it says, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, shows to speak volumes of when you experience oppression or sickness. That is of the devil. Amen. And he won't bother going around healing all that were oppressed of the devil if he was in conformity with what was happening. There won't be any need for him to set anybody loose. And I just look and say, "Nail, I'm there." Bam. But that shows you that it is his desire and his interest that no one is oppressed of the devil. And knowledge is power. Hallelujah. So if you know that this socket, you should not put your finger in it, there will be electric shock. It's knowledge. It's when you don't know that you're going to do it. So when we were growing up, we used to use candlelight. We didn't use atukpa. You know atukpa? We didn't use atukpa. And we didn't use kerosene lantern because of health issues. So it was, and you know that time there was no light. So every day we're always burning candles. You think that our house was a shrine. Because in every room there is a candlestick. You know, yeah, that's how we had light. But my junior brother, very small boy, I can't remember how old he was. He didn't understand that this is candlelight. He was just like, "Wow, what is this?" And then he would poke his index finger in the flame. And then he'll come back, "Jojo, Jojo." And that's how he got his nickname. So when you see him and you call him Jojo, you don't understand what he means. And then, but that doesn't mean tomorrow. Tomorrow, when is this candlelight again? Jojo. You won't touch it. Amen. So when you know that there is, when you have knowledge about something, you know how to conduct yourself around that thing. Amen. And when you have the knowledge of what God has in store for you, you know how to conduct yourself so that when God has a promise or something for you, there's accessibility. But that accessibility is dependent on you and the things you do with respect to God. This morning we read in Luke chapter 6, I think verse 38 downwards, that you have to follow him, listen to him, and obey. That's when the storms come, your house will be standing. Amen. So I read to you purposely, Acts 10, 38, that it was a known fact that everywhere he went, he was doing good, he was healing people of their sicknesses and their diseases. Now let's go to Luke chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 6 to 11.
That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be. Hallelujah. That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be. Hallelujah.
You know the meaning of hallelujah? Hallelujah means victory. So that song is powerful. So that's what your song will be. It's victory all the way. Victory all the way. It's a new month. It's a new beginning. It's an opportunity for you to set a new milestone for yourself when it comes to the things of God. But that's what your song will be. This month forward, it will break through all the way. No obstacles. Hallelujah. It's when you observe the wind that you will not sow. That's what the Bible says. He will observe the wind. He will not sow. He said, the wind is blowing, the wind is blowing. I will come out and sow when the wind has stopped blowing. And if the wind stops, it will never stop blowing. But you cannot restrain yourself from sowing because of what you're observing around. Amen. Acts chapter 6, verse 6. It says, now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. Hallelujah. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. Christ entered the synagogue and he was doing what? He was teaching. His intention was not to go there to heal. He entered the synagogue and he taught. And the man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to him, I will ask you one thing. Then Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Amen. Hallelujah. The man was not healed, though. He was not healed. There's a difference between healing and making whole. Do you get it? Do you know the difference? I have a scar on my left hand. And when I grew up, my mother told me about the story of the scar. But it was healed by the time she was telling me the story. So that was healed. If that spot had no scar, there wouldn't be any story. It had been made whole. It had been restored to normal, to how it was. So the Bible says here that he stretched his hand. He said he stretched out his hand, and he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. They know the nature of Christ. The Pharisees, they know Christ's nature. That he cannot stand people that are being oppressed. He can't stand seeing them without setting them free. Amen. And his wickedness on their path. Because it was a Sabbath. And they were going to stand in the... So when he was teaching, and they saw the withered man, they knew within themselves that Christ will heal this guy. This is irresistible for him. Hallelujah. See, if you think you have enemies, and because of those enemies, you will stay indoors, That's where they want to keep you. When you have challenges at your place of work, business, and you bow your heads and you do not do anything about it, in quote, that's where the enemy wants you to be, where you will not do anything about your situation. Hallelujah. The doors of the church are open, right? So anybody walks in, anybody that walks in here has done himself one good deed. He has come in and he will hear the word of God. If he stays at the road or by the gate, he's not going to hear anything. That man that had a withered hand, he didn't go into that synagogue for healing. Hallelujah. It's not recorded. But what we got recorded is that Christ was in that synagogue and he went there teaching. That's the word of God. And then, lo and behold, there was a man with the withered hand. He says that, you know the story of the man that was let down from the roof. Okay? It says he was teaching, but the power of God was present to heal. Hallelujah. They say water finds its level. So if you pour water, water will gravitate, it will find its level, it will move around, and then you'll be shocked. Ah, did water get here? Water get here? That's how the power of God is. When the word of God, where the word of God is, there is power. Hallelujah. And that power is not just there to show that it's there. It's there so that it can liberate people and heal people. And they will understand that there is a God in heaven. Amen. So the man with the withered hand, okay? He was there. And the Bible says in verse 7, it says, so the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. See, the next verse says that, but he knew their thoughts. Okay? He knew their thoughts, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. Amen. Hallelujah. He knew their thoughts. They had not said anything. They were just thinking, ah, this guy, let's see whether he's going to heal on the Sabbath. The Bible says he knew their thoughts. And he said to the man, stand here. Arise and stand here. The man arose and he stood. He obeyed Christ. Hallelujah. Step number one, he obeyed Christ. Now, it was not obvious to the man what the Pharisees and Sadducees were thinking. Neither was it obvious to the man what Christ was about to do. Hallelujah. He just simply obeyed. Well, Christ knew what he was going to do. And Christ knew the mind of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They're going to question him why he was healing on the Sabbath. And the first question he asked them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy? Which one is lawful? And they couldn't say anything. So they looked around them and then he went on about the business was good. That's why I read Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Then he went on to the business that he wanted to do. He told the man, stretch out your hand. And he did. And so his hand was restored as whole as the other. Hallelujah. Number one, the man put himself in a position where God could reach him. If the first time he said, arise and stand here, he did not get up, there would have been a problem. And then the second time he said, stretch forth your hand. Come, listen, the man did not ask questions. You know, we are very intelligent people. He didn't ask questions. He didn't say, why are you telling me to stretch forth my hand? He just said, stretch forth your hand. And in stretching forth his hand, he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Amen. when we step out on a daily basis, just know that God has a package for you per day. He says the steadfast love of the Lord, He never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. But it is in a place of understanding and putting value on the word of God that you can experience Him. Amen. That's the only time you will experience Him. Experiencing Him is not default, you're right. Hallelujah. Even at every point in the Bible, all He said was, obey me. Even when He was talking to the Israelites, the prototype that we have to study, He said, just obey me, follow my commands, and you will see that the Lord is good. And it was not different when Christ was dealing with men. He says, just obey. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we look at things and we look around and say that things are not happening. But let's look inside. As there are things happening on the inside of us. Leave the one around you. All these physical things that you need, leave them. Look on the inside. Are you satisfying the very core of your being, which is your spirit? Are you feeding your spirit? If you are feeding your spirit, are you obeying what the spirit is telling your spirit? Once you begin to tackle the inside, every other thing on the outside is a done deal. Amen. Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 26. I'm going to read from verse 1. These are the things you will see this month and beyond. For as many as were not around last evening, the Lord will have us do this again. These are the things that we'll see this month and beyond. But everything does not go without an instruction. Hallelujah. So when these instructions comes, know that they are consistent with God's word. Know that they are consistent with God's word. Not that someone is now telling you that start eating grass, you will see something, and then you start eating. Hallelujah. When the instructions come, it will be very consistent with what the Bible is saying. Let me read very quickly. You shall not make idols for yourselves. Neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Note this. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. Thought you would say amen. Verse 3 again. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. For I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. Verse 10. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Says, then I will give you rain in its season. Look at Psalm 1. Please let me project Psalm 1. From from verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. Now go back to verse 3. He says that it shall bring forth fruits, its fruit in its season. Hallelujah. It's not anyhow scripture. He says that tree planted by rivers of water will bring forth its fruit in its season. There's a time for every tree to bear fruit. In Leviticus, it says, verse 4, 26 verse 4 says, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. I don't know your land, neither do I know your fruit. But what I know is this word that the Lord has said. He said he will give you rain in its season, in the right season for rain, he will give you. He says the land shall produce, shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. For you, that's how it's going to be. Look at verse 10. No, wait. Before you go to verse 10. This verse 5. Let me see. Give me the NLT. Verse 5. But these things are not without condition. Don't worry. The land will yield its produce for you. The land, the tree will bear its fruit for you. Hallelujah. The rain will fall in the season for you. Verse 5 says, your threshing season will overlap with the grape harvest, and your grape harvest will overlap with the season of planting grain. Do you know what that means? There's going to be a spillover. So when you are harvesting grape, okay, it says your threshing season will overlap with the grape harvest. So when you are working at it, the harvest will come. Okay, when you are still harvesting, okay, your grape harvest will overlap the season of planting grain. So it's from one surplus to another. So there's no vacuum in the supply that you have. I thought you would jump up and say hallelujah. Line where Guru. The music on your Luawi. Open your mouth and I'll feel it. When verse 10. So that you won't say it's Pastor Emma that says surplus. Verse 10 says, you will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to clear out the old grain to make room for the new harvest. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you have harvested maize this season, you have so much surplus that what you have harvested will not have even gone near level zero for a new harvest to come. So that one, to you now, that one is not like, it's like a, what do you call it? Rally. You push it out. There's a new harvest. This one that you are saying is new. It wouldn't have expired. Before another one comes, you push it out. Another one will come and you keep pushing them out. There cannot be lack in your household. I am not the one that said it. It's God's word. He said, if you obey my statutes, if you follow my decrees and careful to obey my commands, he said, I will send you the seasonal rain. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we just wake up and say, there's global warming. Rain is not falling when it's not supposed to fall, blah, blah, blah. But you know that when rain falls unexpectedly, some people come to give testimony that they ask for the rain. That seasonal rain. They will say, it's not time for rain. No. But yesterday when I needed rain, and then we went to bed, and then it suddenly rained. But some people say, it's global warming now. Hallelujah. God understood global warming before all of us. That's why he said there will be seasonal rain. Amen. That's why the psalmist wrote, Psalm 23, verse 1. That's why he wrote. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. So if the new harvest will meet the old harvest, there is no need. And there is no want. I mean, I'm not very good with English. Some people say, there's a difference between need and want. Whichever one you want to take, there's no need and there's no want. Where's Kenny? Kenny, everything is just fresh. Abi? Fresh delivery. Everything fresh. Because the Lord is in the midst of it. So what Christ did when he was around, he went about doing good and seeing somebody that is oppressed, release him. Hallelujah. Where you need knowledge, he gives you knowledge. And that was why he made it a point of duty that his going out was not to heal anybody, but his going out was to preach the word of God. Because it's that knowledge that makes you and I free. Or set you free. That's another problem for people. Some people say there's a between to make free and set free. Whether it's make free or it's set free, free. Whether it's need or it's want, you are free. If you want to travel, you will provide. If you need to travel, you will provide. This is the word I speak to you, a spirit, and their life. So he went, and then he will preach the word. He will go. And you preach the word. And when he's preaching, people are liberated. Something pops up in their spirit. Amen. And they catch the rev. And they no longer are the same again. And you know the funny thing? Many people ran after him because of the miracles. But he was not distracted with those people running after him for miracles. It was because he knew that without the word, there cannot be the power. If you will see these things come alive, by the way, these things will start happening. And it's not going to stop. This month onward, it's not going to stop. Take a note of it. Last Sunday, I said, and I was not drunk when I was saying it. I was in my senses. I said, it's a month of laughter. And there's no way there can be laughter if there's no surplus. Hallelujah. Say, somebody has a need. Please don't have any need anymore. In the light of the scripture. The old, the new, we meet the old. And then you clear out the old because of the new harvest. Thank you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. You see, the talking drum. You know the talking drum? You know the talking drum? It's not those ones that them can bring to church. Those ones are not well adorned. You are looking at me. Yes. They don't have the fringes. So the traditional talking drum has the fringes. When you beat it, the fringes will respond. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? When you beat, go, the fringes will vibrate. When you stop beating, the fringes will continue making noise. Eh? The crux of the matter are not these promises that he has given to us. They are like the fringes. Hallelujah. They are pecs. Eh? So one day somebody was asking, what is your peck for being a Nigerian? They are pecs. So they said that one of the pecs of being a Nigerian is subsidy that will soon go. So people were always say, so when this subsidy goes, what is, because everything doesn't just look like it's adding up. But if you look well, there's God in the midst of Nigeria. Eh? If well is 175 naira or 800 naira, no Allah. In the forest, no matter the economy of the forest, the lion cannot eat grass. It's impossible. And there's nothing in the forest, and you don't see the lion eat grass. It's not possible. I'm saying that everything, the harvest, the old, the new, leave them. As sweet as they are, leave them. They are premised on certain things that you ought to do. Obey his word. Obey his commands. See, obey. First thing, even connect with God. When we're reading Luke chapter 6, verse 30, he said, you follow me, listen to me, and then do the things that I tell you to do. When you do those things, when you follow it in that sequence, then everything that he has promised, you see them, he will just be following you. It's not like when he said to them that for everybody that believes, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He didn't give it to a specific set of people. For everyone who believes in my name. That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be. Hallelujah.
That's what my song will be. That's what my song will be.
So if you go back to Luke chapter 6 and verse 37, it says, judge not, I shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Hallelujah. Everything here are the red letters of Christ. They're in red letters, and they're the words of Christ. Your principal responsibility is to obey him and do his will. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 5. Sorry, 2 Corinthians, please. I read from Verse 13. You know, I think 3 Sundays ago, we talked about Matthew 23, that talked about the weightier matters of the law. That forget about concentrating on tithing and offering, that the important things are justice, mercy, and faith. These ones you cannot neglect, and you cannot do the other ones without these ones. Very important. Okay? So that it's just like when they tell us to eat a balanced diet. Very balanced diet. So that you have protein, you have carbohydrates, you have vitamins, you have ororo. So you have one pack at the end of the day. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 13 says, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13 says, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no live, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Hallelujah. He says he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. Amen. But for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him, thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Number one, the life that we live is no longer ours, but for him who died for us and he rose. Amen. That's why we cannot live outside his instructions. He said, all things have passed away, all things have become new. And then he has given to us that ministry of reconciliation. For as many as are born in him are new. He has given them the ministry of reconciliation. So you should know that the life you live is no longer your own. Just follow the man that has sacrificed himself for you and has given you his life. The life that you live is his life. So what's this man saying? Is he wearing my shoes? It's his life. It's not the physical body. When we became born again, our spirit got recreated. And that's why the Bible tells us that he sealed us with the Holy Spirit of righteousness. And it's like begets like. The Holy Spirit did not come to seal your body. He sealed your spirit. Hallelujah. Because man is made of the body, the soul, and the spirit. And that's the core. He said in Job, I think it's chapter 10, he said he knit me together with bones and sinews. So within the bones and sinews, that resides you, yourself. But the life that you live is no longer yours. But for him, you're living for him that rose and died for you. Hallelujah. Amen. So things will begin to take the shape that God wants us to take as long as we begin to do the things that he has asked us to do. Amen. Don't live a righteous life. Don't live like I say, it's not my business. It's your business. See, it's like the story, the parable of the talents. He gave 5, 2, and 1, right? The one with 5 went and he multiplied. The one with 2 went and he multiplied. The one he gave 1 went to bury it and said, "My master is wicked. He likes to reap where he did not sow." Those other 2 could have said the same thing. They knew that your mother is wicked. So they went to reap for him where he did not sow and added it to him. This is what our master likes. Give it to him. You are the wicked one that went to bury it and did not do anything with it. Because you took because it was one, he took it with disdain. I mean, like, what's this one? How can he give you just one? That's it. But beyond that, he has given you a life. That's the only hope that we have, that we have life in him. And that life, we cannot live it anyhow, except the way he wants us to live it. Hallelujah. And so if we go back to Leviticus 26 and verse 10 and say that the new grain will push out the old grain, it's all based on the fact that we are doing what he has asked us to do. Hallelujah. And this month, there will be a harvest that is incomparable with any other harvest I've ever made in this life. Things will happen supernaturally. You see, when things will happen supernaturally, it's because there's something in your hands that thing is coming to meet. For everyone that had a miracle in the Bible, for everyone that has something supernatural happen in the Bible, it was what was in their hand that God used. Even when he was sending Moses, backing Moses up with power, it was Moses, he said, what's in your hand? It's my staff. And he used it. That thing you have in your hand that you want to go and bury, that is nothing. You know, people have talents and they don't know. You know, if somebody decides that I want to open a car wash, that person can blow for life. You know how you blow now? Make money, that's what it means. Yeah, I've seen somebody wash a car, detail a car for 10 hours. A car, wash, detail, 10 hours. I left home 7 a.m., the guy left 7 p.m. And when I entered the car, it looked like factory setting. If you call that guy, he can't answer your call. Except late in the night. He will tell you that once he starts working, he keeps his phone away so that he can concentrate and finish. So when he finally finishes whatever he's doing, he picks his call and begins to return the calls one by one. So his customers know him. So they don't call him anyhow. Somebody will say, I'm just washing car. It's dirty work. You do it anyhow. Don't despise what you have in your hand. If old harvest will meet new harvest, it is what you have planted that is bringing out harvest. Abi? It's what you have sown that is bringing harvest. If you don't sow anything, will there be an harvest? I've seen some people pray for a lot. And I wonder, it's a miracle service. And everybody was screaming, amen. Grandpa, you're laughing. God will not steal. We got steal. If you want a miracle, walk. And then I expect that there will be an increase to what you have done. So imagine if I say you all raise your phones and then you begin to receive. From which account is that alert coming? And then tomorrow you receive call. You say this is from the state CID. That's not really good, God. I had someone called me last week. I was giving me a testimony. Said went round, was tired, and suddenly they needed money in the family. And said, when she went around, was traveling up and down, and was from her pocket, she was doing the traveling, was, I think it was official work or something. And then after she had gotten home, where she went, those people were like, sorry, we're supposed to have given you people money for whatever you came to do. So they sent money to them individually. The money they sent to her was that money that was needed at home. That's a miracle. But there was a seed that was sown. And that was the harvest. It's an alert. But there was a seed that was sown. And it's legit. The new will push away the old harvest. Anything that you are sowing right now, do not despise it. Sow it. If you are sowing in tears, Psalm 126. It says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we're like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. It says, bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. This, if you read the Yoruba version, you will love it. I want you one fear. Love shekini. One way shekini. One you fear your car. So whatever you are saying now and you are crying, don't worry. Don't despise it. This one I'm doing every time. God is not. No. God doesn't even like people complaining. The moment you complain, you have lost it. So if you complain today, complain tomorrow, complain next tomorrow. Know that you are not that thing, you have spot it. Whatever idea you have, whatever thought you are doing, put it in God's hands. It is his responsibility to multiply it. And it is his responsibility to make it fruitful. Yours is to follow him and follow his instruction. But don't be idle. And pray these prayers and expect that something will come out. You have to sow, but you will reap in joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us rise to our feet. We'll take the communion this morning. Mark chapter 14. It says in verse 22, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed, and break it, and gave to them, and said, take it, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 22 to 26, it says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. It says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till it comes. Hallelujah. As often as we do obey, do this in remembrance of him, we identify with his death on the cross, hallelujah. We identify with his rising from death, hallelujah. I said, you do show the death of the Lord till he comes. Amen. And there is power, mighty in the blood. He says, the blood of Christ speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah. Is the blood of the... He stands before God, mediating for you and I. And saying, God, don't impute it on him. I have suffered it for him. Hallelujah. And no longer should you and I lay him to the cross. But we should identify with it and live our life for him. Amen. And as we take this communion, everything that is dead signifies. And everything that is rising again, is resurrection. Everything that it signifies. accrues unto us. If there's any sickness in our body, whether all manners of sicknesses, whether it's physical, whether there's an ache, or whether it's even social, whether it's mental, you know, oppression of the devil. He said everywhere he went, he was doing good, freeing people of the oppression of the devil. Hallelujah. As we take this in faith, indeed there will be liberation. No longer will you feel that pain. That disease disappears. Because it's the power of God for us unto as many as we take it. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for these elements. We thank you because we obey. We do not question your words. We obey your word. As we take the communion, thank you because your very life flows on the inside of us, even to heal, to set free, to make free, to bring us to that very purpose that you have set us for. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray.